may be seated. Let us continue in the vein we have been in, and we have embarked upon, and we have exercised by exposition, insight to the passages of Scripture as we have the discourse, the body of Christ, the glorious body of Christ, the church. Again, let's turn to Galatians, our main scripture, chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, and then also 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, and then hopefully today we'll be able to move into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, as we can continue our exposition into the eternal workings of God. I like that eternal view. In fact, let me rephrase that. I love the eternal view. Amen. Because sometimes the view on the horizontal plane can be just downright discouraging.
Oh, yes.
Can be frightening.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. And when I look past and beyond the things that are horizontally around me, and cast my sight and cast my faith into the essence of the eternal stream and workings of God, it settles things around me.
Sure does.
That which is turbulent becomes steady.
Yes.
Amen. That which is unstable is now on a even plane. I think of the account of Jesus below sleep, and storm came up. Amen. And this is a corroborator. And the storm came up, and somebody went below and said, "Master, wake up! Don't you care whether we get wiped out?" They didn't know who they had aboard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only do we have him aboard, we are in him.
All right.
Oh my God.
Come on.
And if you're in him, you are indeed, as the song says, safe and secure from all along.
Yeah.
Amen. Because we are in the essence of Christ. And so this is why we shall continue to focus, and to prioritize, I should say, the eternal decrees and will and purpose of God.
Yes.
I tell you, that's where the real happenings are. Amen. And everything that is going on around us that we perceive to be the happenings, they are happening, but they are incidentals to the real happening.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader. Deacon, you know where to go.
Oh, yeah.
I want everybody to turn to Galatians. Yeah, we go over the same thing over and over and over. Over and over and over and over again. Amen. You will never graduate from Romans.
Never.
Corinthians.
Never.
Ephesians. Philippians.
Never.
Colossians. Thessalonians. you never graduate. You never get to the point where you say, "Well, I don't need to look into that matter anymore." Amen. But Word of God is alive. It's moving. And it wasn't necessary, in fact, the Holy Spirit designed it that way, that you when you go into the Bible and you pick out pages of our gospel, it's not a great volume. It's a very small volume as far as writing, but oh my God, there's so much into it. It's just capsulized because, see, it is the Spirit that brings the words alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Spirit. Amen. And when He talks, it is volumes and volumes and, my God, volumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. There's so much to this until no building would be enough to actually contain the writings of the wordings.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For in them the Spirit speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Oh my God. Alright, let's read that 26 through 29. And then I'm not going to comment on that. At least I'm trying not to. And then we'll move into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. And we had moved down to verse 17 when we brought our delivery to a conclusion last week. So we shall take up from there. All right? Everybody got Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Amen?
Amen.
All right, read.
Galatians 3:26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
For
Amen.
As many of you
let me start there. You're not children by the faith that you have in Christ Jesus.
Come on.
You are children through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
His faithful work in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that He is the propitiation
mm-hmm.
that allows God to call you His children. Mm-hmm. Actually, that word, Iothesion, mm-hmm. is son position. We are placed as sons.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that I just thought I hit that point that's in some of the writings that we're dealing with as it relates to the eternal justification
mm-hmm.
of God's elect. You are justified in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So your faith that you exercise, regardless of how you think that came about,
mm-hmm.
some say, well, it's as a result of my free will. Of course, we know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But even the others who said, no, we're called to exercise faith,
mm-hmm.
that is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not your exercise of faith that has saved you.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the fact that you exercise faith and that gives God the justification to justify you.
Mm-hmm.
For God to justify you,
mm-hmm.
it has to be on the basis of the propitiation,
yeah.
of the acceptable sacrifice.
Yeah.
So it is not your faith or any aspect of your faith, amen, but it is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
faith that we exercise, it identifies us with the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, which in essence is the reason, the basis, the foundation of our salvation.
That's right.
All right. I just thought I'd clear that matter up.
Right.
All right. Keep reading.
For as many of you
mm-hmm.
as have been, verse 27, as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Uh-huh.
There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
According to the promise of what? Justification
mm-hmm.
by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right, we've been through that. All right, let's move now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5
mm-hmm.
verses 16 and 17. This is where we have been abiding for the past two or three sessions of a discourse.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Wherefore, henceforth,
mm-hmm.
know we no man after the flesh, Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more.
And what the pastor is saying there is not said in light, in disrespect for the manifestation of the Son of God and Jesus incarnate and robed manifestly in flesh, dwelling among us. That is glorious. Amen. But there's but he's saying that there's greater light. And here the idea is to move us from the arena of the workings of time into the essence of God in eternity, laying out this thing. And there's a higher plane. It's a good plane.
Yeah.
Amen. The feeding of the 5,000. Now so that no one gets the wrong idea what we're saying. It was glorious.
Yeah.
Amen. The Olivet Discourse, all of the things that are recorded in the Gospel, so-called Gospels, those books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, which was later written many years later, given the account of the early earthly manifestation of the work of Jesus as it is has been so documented. So our aim here is not to minimize this. No, not in any way. We all magnify,
right.
Amen, the things that he did, the turning the water into wine, and the healing of the lepers, and the healing of the blind, and even the raising of the dead. Amen. But he came unto his own, and here it should be clear that at this time, the covenant that he operated under was the Mosaic covenant. It's the law. What was offered was the new covenant. The message was the new covenant.
Hallelujah.
But he abided in the old, because there is the new, the condition of the new is that it must be accepted as a replacement for the old before it is enacted. Amen. And so it was introduced by John the Baptist. And the writings thereof are kingdom in contents. Amen. We're not here, and this is what we get accused of many times, but we're not here to downplay that or to say that that's not important. No, you've never heard that come from this. Not from this minister, not from this pulpit.
Right.
Amen. No, that's not what we're saying at all. Amen. But to see when there's greater light, when there's a high plane, amen. When there is a more glorious arena, just as in upon Sinai there was a glory, but and we don't negate those things, but there's a greater glory.
Greater.
Amen. And when greater light comes, you go with the if you're abiding under the luminous of a 60 watt bulb and someone come up with 1,000 watts, you move where there's greater light. This is what we're saying this morning. And so he said, we don't know him, even though we have known him, those who knew him that were under that covenant and under that dispensational arrangement. And in that time, a new day has come.
Yeah.
Amen. And the man that writes this is one named Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, that God arrested, and he gave him amen, the secret and the light of a million illuminants. Oh my God, hallelujah. The one itself cannot be quantitated. Oh, what great light that takes us all the way back, way back, before time, before creation, into an arena of God alone working and moving and electing and calling and choosing and placing into the essence of, ooh, hallelujah, of the greatest of all creation, the body of Christ. This is where, amen, Paul said, let's move on, let's move, amen, hallelujah, from, amen, the lover of those who see him from an earthly view, and amen, from a horizontal plane. Let's move on up. Can you say move on up? Move on up into the essence of the eternal vantage point of God in eternity, as he laid it out, determining, decreeing, and amen. And this is where the actuation of it all lies.
God, thank you. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so, mm-hmm. Said we don't know him there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, how is it we know him?
Mm-hmm.
And where are we? Verse 17, read.
Therefore.
Mm-hmm. You see that we have us there. We have the, here the conclusion of.
Mm-hmm.
Statement, therefore,
mm-hmm.
therefore, then what?
If any man be in Christ.
If any man is in Christ, and again, we'll go back over that, the conjunction E mm-hmm. here, used because Paul is not saying who's in and who's out.
Mm-hmm.
So that should read those who are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in Christ, read.
He is a new creature.
New creation.
Creation.
Yes, that's okay.
Old things are passed.
All is
away.
Past. All is past.
Behold.
All is past. Here, he's speaking of moving from the physical sphere to the spiritual sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us, we can't relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
No. We can't relate to that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're fleshly. We all. Mm-hmm. Me too. We are, I am also. You know, we're in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, God has so graciously
mm-hmm.
given us light. And this is why Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said, we walk by faith, not
yes.
by sight.
Yeah.
Amen. You see, your 2020, amen, it is sufficient for what is. It is designed for,
mm-hmm.
and that is the horizontal physical things that are around you.
Right.
Amen. But faith is designed for the unseen, for the
mm-hmm.
eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It takes faith to go back into the eternal realm and see God calling out people before he even created them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We were created. Amen. We were created. We were created
mm-hmm.
to the design that God had already made.
Already.
Huh?
Already.
Oh my God! Hallelujah!
Yeah.
We said we are sons. We were created to be sons. God had already determined what
mm-hmm.
the sons were before we were created.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, hallelujah!
Yeah.
We were created. Vessels of mercy, vessels of love, vessels of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I know this doesn't excite to men of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that we are in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
amen, it's the physical thing that moves us.
Mm-hmm.
But oh, if you could just ever get spirit hooked up with spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. And you see, the spirit is excited by spiritual things.
Yeah.
The spirit is not excited by physical things. The spirit is not excited about a new house, even though, amen,
mm-hmm.
I hope everybody gets a beautiful new mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But spirit is excited about the spiritual, unseen,
yes.
everlasting things of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
So these things are stirred up. It's because the spirit is moving in you and it's working in you. Ooh, hallelujah. And it is arresting your minds.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Read.
Old things are passed away.
The old is past.
Behold, all things are become
all
new.
All things are new. And so last week we were talking about the spiritual sphere and the spiritual sphere. In the spiritual sphere, that which had formerly existed has now dematerialized. And so we are moved from the physical material to the physical, we are moved from the physical material to the spiritual new composition, a transformation from fleshly to spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is why, you know, you have the Greek word yegodin. It is rendered has and is come, amen, in the indicative mood, which means this is the fact that the new has and is come. We're going to focus on the new, amen, the new creation, amen. We're leaving, amen, the essence of the physical sphere. We know all about that, most of us. We're very familiar, and then some of us are very comfortable with it. Mm. This is why God has to, he has to shake things up.
Shake
them
up.
And move things around.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he doesn't mean for your flesh to be comfortable with it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so,
thank you.
The essence of it is that this new cogitation, it structures all things in perfect view of the mindset, amen, of our understanding as it is focused on new objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So the expression of new life entails new views. As we said last week, new views of this world, new views of things. And I think I heard someone testifying this morning is that the eternal view helped them out in viewing some situation that happened, amen. And you see, many say, and I've heard them, they say, let's focus on the now. We're worried about eternity when we get there.
Well, well.
No. What you think about eternity will influence how you feel now.
Hallelujah.
What you think about now.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Amen. It will help you now.
Yeah.
Amen. The eternal view is designed to help you right now.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Let's move on.
Yeah.
As we look at these things, even the very continents of life encounters engendered renewed faith and hope. These things that are temporarily seen are overshadowed by the eternal unseen. Now, before we move away and we leave the 17th verse, there's one final inference of grammar. Yes, I'm going to always dwell in the grammar, amen, because this is what controls the cogitation, is the grammar. As we observe one final inference of grammar in this verse, we note that some of the Greek manuscripts, most notably the group that belongs to the majority text, they have editorially inserted the word all things, ta panda, in this verse. But it is not so much the violation of putting ta panda, all things, in that troubles us, but see, when they translate the phrase, all things have become new, amen, they do so, and in their conversations, the cogitation of the thinking is that all the new things are exchanged for the old things. That's Quran. That's actually this view that's limited. And this view causes one to be limited, as it does not extend above the horizontal plane.
Right.
See? A more effective statement in this view, if you're going to use ta panda, all things, would be the emphasis that all the new things replace the old things.
Mm-hmm.
Not exchange for the old things, but they replace the old things.
Mm-hmm.
Here the Apostle Paul's directive to the churches at both Ephesus and Colossians. We're going to move into both Ephesians and Colossians as we move forth in the dissertation. But here he's directed to these two churches, and many of the writings in Ephesians and Colossians, they parallel one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he's repeating himself. Amen. But it conveys the unfolding of one's growth and development in proportion to God's graceful invitation of his word in one's heart.
Yeah.
In case you wanting to follow me, you have the document on page 13.
Mm-hmm.
But Ephesians, at the top, Paul's statement encompasses strictly the vertical spiritual viewpoint. Say this again. In Ephesians, when you look at those writings, amen, it encompasses strictly the vertical spiritual viewpoint. The vertical viewpoint. The amen, the spiritual eternal vantage point. His statements to the Colossians embodies the positive influence that the spiritual knowledge of the body of Christ imparts to the horizontal physical workings thereof. What we have just said a few minutes ago to you is that these things are important to know, amen, even from the standpoint of how they affect your daily walk, your daily thinking. Amen. And as we look into the doctrine of peripatology, or the doctrine of the Christian walk, how can you walk with him if you don't know him?
Yes.
Amen. How, amen, can you abide, amen, in the essence of the truth if you don't know what the truth is?
Yes.
Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Here, as we view this verse, well, first, I tell you what, Brother Deacon, why don't you read verse 23 and verse 24. Now, you notice the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul is really out there. He's dealing with God's eternal work and how the church is structured, and we shall be exegeting from portions of chapter 2 later on in our discourse. I think it's in section 2, that which you don't have yet. Amen. This is only section 1 that you have. Mm-hmm. But the first three chapters, and then he deals with how it is structured. Amen. So the first three chapters are dealing with the correct message, the actual wordage of the thought that the engine that drives the train.
Mm-hmm.
And now you in at verse 4, chapter 4, you into methods.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 and 6, you into methods and motives.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts out with the message.
Right.
So in the first part, you get the message.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. See, the message is first. Amen. He gives them an insight into the eternal workings of God, and then how does it translate down into one's walk? And this is why at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul could write to them, and he could appeal to them on the basis of what he had said in the earlier chapters. And this is why chapter 4 starts out again, therefore, un hoste, depending upon the structure in there and how the declensions all line up there as it's laid out. But again, as it's translated in English, therefore.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul said, I therefore, amen. He said, the prisoner of the Lord,
yeah.
Amen. the love slave of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm held by love.
Yes.
Amen. And what has fed this love is that I've comprehended the things that I've outlaid to you here in chapters 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. If you get the correct message, amen, you can't help but love God. Huh?
Yes, Lord.
My Lord, if you... There are those that say, well, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. And yet, the focus is always on the fact that he healed my body. And we said to thank God for all of those things. But our love for him goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
Amen. He's done more than just heal my body. Because sometimes he's not going to heal your body.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said it again.
That's right. Fair.
Amen. And it's not guaranteed that you're going to be rich. He said, well, God is, he's promised to make you rich. So where's the fire? He said, well, he told Abraham. I said, stop, stop. Mm-hmm. Who did he tell? He said, Abraham. I said, that's where you mixed up.
Yes.
Amen. Wrong covenant.
Yes.
Amen. We're not recipients of the promises in the Abrahamic covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Not those of us who are members of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't promised us, amen, land that we didn't till, or houses that we didn't build. As I heard some preacher had a congregation up, he had really excited them. I mean, they were up on their feet. Amen. Mm-hmm. All of these things. I give you lands that you know, I give you crops that you didn't plant.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Woo!
Yeah.
See, he was talking to Abraham.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. Well, that's not fair. Wait. Let's hear the whole matter. Amen. Listen. Don't focus on Abraham. He's giving you more. If you're in the body of Christ, what Abraham has received is there's no comparison, amen, to the fact that you are positioned as sons in the body of Christ. No comparison.
Yes.
Amen. And so our focus must be on the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts this verse, chapter 4 here. I beg you that you walk worthy of vocation. And many of us don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be exegeting that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a methodology I'm following here. And it's not all chronologically laid out as it is written, you know. Sometimes he said, well, verse 1 comes before verse 2, not always. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Context wise, amen. We may go down in the 23rd verse and grab that context and convey it and then come back to the first 7 to 8 verses, which was another context.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we move as the Spirit directs us. But in the 23rd verse, everybody got to say amen.
Yeah.
All right? And that clock. Let's start in verse 20 and read down through verse 24. All right? Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Ephesians 4, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
But ye have not so learned Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If so be that ye have heard him,
mm-hmm,
and have been taught by,
mm-hmm,
him, as the truth is in Jesus.
See the importance of the message.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to shape what you do.
Yes.
Amen. See?
Mm-hmm.
Behavior is learned behavior.
Yes.
And it's good to get good learning so you can have good behavior. Huh?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'll leave that alone. Read.
Verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation.
Okay.
The old man.
Now you see that? We'll be back to that. Go ahead.
Which is corrupt according to deceitful lust.
All right. Verse 23.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24.
And that ye put on the new man,
mm-hmm.
which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
And this is why we go to the Greek.
All right.
Amen. Follow me here. From the Greek text, verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And after to see the verse 22 which he read, Paul had admonished them to put off the old man, denoting the humanly depraved one who is continuously corrupted by deceitful lusts. Here in this verse, verse 23, his instructions are to be renewed in the spirit of one's mind. Observe, here we have the Greek word ananos, oste, rendered renewed. Renewed. It is derived from the preposition ana, and is prefixed to nous, and it literally means to new up, hence to renew, make new again, and to renovate. This is an infinitive. It is in the present tense, which means that this is a renewing process that exudes a continuous progression through one's lifespan. Also, this infinitive is in the passive voice, denoting the fact that this is not a humanistic, self-produced renewal, but it is the workings of the Holy Spirit. And here we reference Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, here we look at the Greek phrase, pneumati tous nous imon, rendered in the spirit of your mind. As we do so, we utilize the genitive of possession as it expands the translation to convey the statement that one be renewed in the spirit. Remember when we passed out the document, and actually we preached several months, maybe more than half a year, on the spirit of truth. I want you to draw back on this as we move through this context. But we have the expression in the spirit, which belongs to the mind, which belongs to you. Amen. So here one can envisage the spirit and mind in concert as their associated communication links. In this sense, the spirits, here we're going back to what we conveyed to you through the spirit of truth, the spirit of redeemed men receive information from Holy Spirit and intellectually impress the word of God upon their minds. This is how it works. It works from spirit to spirit. I can stand up here all day and talk. Amen. And the thought and the workings of God, they will not be impressed upon your minds. But all when the Holy Spirit gets it.
Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah.
This is why as preachers we sit and put notches on our belt. You say, well, man, I preached them all out the pews today. You see, that's just pure ignorance. Amen. If you receive the input and you are able to link in and become aware of what God has done, it is a result that the Spirit of God, amen, he's talking to your spirit. Amen. You see, my spirit to your spirit won't do any good. So it must be the Holy Spirit, amen, that communicates to your spirit.
Glory.
And so as the Holy Spirit communicate to our spirit the grand and the glorious things of God, it has an impact.
Thank God. Amen.
That's how it works.
Thank you.
That's how it works.
Yes.
Amen. This is manifested in terms of one's adherence, follow me now, to the knowledge of what is in Christ, of what one is in Christ.
Thank God.
As a member of the body of Christ. Follow me, I'm going to repeat that. That which we receive is manifested in terms of our adherence to the knowledge of what it means to be in Christ. Why are we spending so much time on this? Why are we not talking about the so-called issues?
Right.
Amen. That are on the social plane this morning. On the political plane.
Uh-huh.
There's much. You can pick up the Detroit News today, and there's much in there. Amen. That's a bit of interest. And I read the paper too. I go online to get most of my information now, but I read, you know, I listen. I mean, I know that Ronald Reagan died yesterday. I mean, you know, and the legacy that he was supposed to, you know. But to debate that here this morning, to even talk about it, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. You see? And of course, you go into some churches, especially so-called conservative right this morning.
Yep.
They're probably having all kind of memorials. Everybody that went to service in those type ministries this morning, they got a memorial of Ronald Reagan. I guarantee you they did.
Sure.
I haven't even looked at it yet, but because this is where my mind dwells. And you know what? You don't need the Holy Spirit to give that message.
No.
You know how you know whether you got the right message? If it is required that the Holy Spirit takes it and conveys it, you got the right message. If it can be conveyed by the spirit of man, amen, to your spirit, then you got to check that message. But if it is required that the Holy Spirit conveys it, because you see, amen, the spirit of man can convey natural things. So natural man, he knows the natural things, amen. But only the spirit, y'all hear me this morning, only the spirit knows the things of God, as we have said, amen, is able to convey, amen, the spiritual, eternal blessing. That's what you need down in your sanctified soul this morning.
Glory to God. Amen. Thank God.
That's what you need. Amen. So at the risk of being out of touch, we shall stay the course. We shall proceed in this manner. All right. In about 10 minutes, I'm gonna cut it short this morning. We have some other things that we are gonna transition into. And of course we are having perfecting today, regardless of whatever else is going on. All right. So here, when the Holy Spirit conveys the knowledge, and these things get down into your spirit, and you internalize them, the essence of what it means to be a member of Christ, of the body of Christ, this transpires as the Spirit of God ceaselessly endeavors to renew our minds, the spirits of the elect, into the likeness and the image of God attribute-wise. You see, amen. We miss what the goal and what the aim is. And that is because we have one agenda, and it's not God's agenda. And guess what? The gender of men don't matter.
Amen.
And I know it seems like it, because we operate in the physical sphere, but these illusions, is a difference between virtuality and actuation. Amen. What may seem to be, or what may seem to be manifestation wise, is not always the case. But what else is what God has decreed and determined to be what is. So if you ask me what is, I want to know what is it in relationship to God. Because whatever it is in God, that's what it is. And if it doesn't align with God, I know this is bad English, but it ain't.
Amen.
See.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So this is what we must understand. And so now this is how this works. Here, as we examine verse 24 from the King James, and that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. But let's look at the Greek text. And put on the new man, who according to God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The conveyance of this verse must be viewed strictly in the spiritual vein, that all references to the new man are in the spiritual sphere. Follow me now. In fact, I think I'll repeat that. All references to the new man are in the spiritual sphere. Here we have an opening coordinating conjunction of this verse. Give me about 6 minutes and I'm going to bail out for the day. But all references to the new man in the spiritual sphere, if we look at the opening coordinating conjunction of verse 24, it basically states that even as the old man has been identified with Christ in death and is to be put off, likewise the new man, and this is what the new creation is to be put on, as we reference Galatians 6 and 15. Here, again, I'm into the grammar, we have a Greek infinitive. What is an infinitive? It is a verbal noun. All right. We have this word that we have, and we look on it, is anesthesia. It is translated put on. Mm-hmm. Here it's derived from in and theo, and basically means to get into. Right. Hence to clothe or to invest into. When the Irish tense is evoked, the conveyance is that the new man is to be having been put on.
All right.
Just say, that doesn't make sense. You know what? And it doesn't in the sphere of time. But it makes all the sense in the sphere of eternity.
Amen.
Remember now, not in the physical plane, but in the spiritual plane. Amen. So, we can say the new man is to be having been put on because as it relates to the fact that this is a once and for all transaction.
Yeah.
Aorist tense. What is aorist tense? Past completed action. So when was it actualized? In eternity. When is it being manifested? In time. Amen. So, if it's decreed in eternity, that's when it is actualized.
That's right.
If it is manifested in time, amen, it follows the fact that it has been decreed. This is why he can say, to be, having been.
All right.
Amen. We are to manifestly be What? Some of y'all looking at me straight. We are to be what we already have been. We are to be in time what we already are in eternity.
Glory. That's it.
Isn't that deep? Isn't that deep?
That's it. Amen. Thank God.
Here it is telling us to do something that's already done.
Oh, glory.
To be something that already is. Take this home and read it, and not only just read this, break open your Bible. Amen. Huh? What does aorist mean? Past completed action. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, He didn't write this down wrong. This is why in Romans chapter, what is it, 8 verse 29, I think it is, 29 or 30, it just speaks about those that He foreknew.
Uh-huh.
He, that's in the heirs, He did what?
Yeah.
He predestinated them.
Heirs.
Those that He predestinated, the heirs, He called. Heirs.
Right.
Then said, those that He called, heirs, He did what?
He justified.
Heirs. He said, well, that can speak back to the day where I can say, I got saved. You can argue about those, but the next one you can't. He said, those that He justified, heirs, He glorified, heirs.
And you know,
even the manifestation wise, at least, unless you're on a strong delusion this morning, you know you haven't been glorified. But you have.
That's right.
You said, no, I haven't. Yes, you have. This body is complete. This body is finished.
Glory. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen.
The work was finished before creation. All the work. Not only did God initiate it, but He implemented it and He completed it. Aorist tense, past completed. When? In eternity. And see, we can't grasp that because most of us, we operate in the time zone of creation. And many of the ministries, and I see I'm just have to bail out today. Many of the ministries, they teach that what we do in time will influence eternity. No, you got it backwards. No! What has already occurred in eternity is the reason why it's going down like it is now.
Yes, sir. Glory
to
God. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
You know what? And you know what's the importance of that?
Glory.
As I close, the importance of that is that anything can happen.
That's it.
I've said this in close. I had the opportunity and will this week to counsel a couple whose baby died at childbirth, stillborn. And that brings up a lot of questions. You know what? But if you're able to go back and view this thing
come on.
And take a panoramic view of it and not be locked into June the 3rd or the 4th or whenever the child passed. See, we're not locked into June the 5th, 2004. It has its place.
Right.
But you know what? Isn't the day June the 5th?
Six.
Yeah,
six.
June the 6th. June the 6th. All right. Do you know what? Tomorrow, June the 6th, will be gone.
Absolutely gone.
Well, it has its effects. Yeah, it has its effects, but it will be gone. But more important than that, time is a creation of God that occupies a very minute portion of space in eternity. Time and creation is but a specter in the realm of God's eternity. And this is why we focus on the total picture.
That's right.
That's why.
Thank God.
Now, we're going to build this new man next week. So I'm going to close down for the day. But don't worry. Whatever mistakes you make along the way, and here we are not trying to encourage anyone into making a mistake. We don't have to encourage you. You being depraved creatures, we're going to make them. We're going to fall sometimes. We're going to blunder sometimes. I should say many times. But don't despair. Don't despair. Because God has already worked it out.
Yes,
it's done.
Yes,
the new man.
Yes.
He's already complete.
Yes.
Amen. In fact, he was created before the old man. Pastor, you're not making sense now.
That's right.
See, we must learn as a close to prioritize the eternal realm and the spiritual realm over the temporary workings of time. Manifestations are just what they are. They are the workings out manifestation-wise for creatures who dwell in creation, because that is the only thing in the essence of our bodies and our lives that we can comprehend. We can ever, amen, move from the horizontal plane and the things that are around us, amen, and we can move from the essence of these things dominating our minds and governing our thoughts and our actions and our ways, and move on up, amen, into the essence of where God dwells, and where He has allowed us to see, and all the way back to eternity, that God has already worked this thing out. So no matter what's going on, if you see the whole picture, you can hang in there. Through sickness, you can hang in there. Through the essence of poverty, yes, even if somebody accuses you of the spirit of poverty, you can hang in there. Amen. Because you know that there's a glorious, there's a rich inheritance that God has worked out for you in eternity, but you must view it from the eternal spiritual realm.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you.
Come on, give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. That's it. We must see.